and turn to Luke chapter 18. We will get there in just a moment. You can be prepared. If you don't have a Bible, there's some extra ones at the back there. Just lift up your hand and one of the fellows can help supply one for you if you need one. Luke chapter 18. Thanksgiving is a time for us, of course, to not only express our gratefulness and thankfulness to the Lord, but a time for us to really consider what thankfulness and how thankfulness really needs to be an ingrained part of our lives. It's not that we are thankful that sets us apart. And perhaps it's not even that we know who we are thankful to. But as people of relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, His Son, we are a people who are transformed and able to express our thankfulness beyond just gratefulness for our stuff, instead to a level of worship and of love and of service. And I want to share some thoughts about that level of gratefulness to the Lord and His work in our lives. We know from the truth of God's word that our lives do not consist of the things that we possess. Instead, we build our lives, our faith-based worldview, our practice of how we look at life, we build it right from the very beginning of Scripture that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so all that we see and we have around us, we attribute to God's leading, God's guiding, and God's supply. As we focus on the Lord God from whom all creation flows, then thankfulness is indeed a fitting starting point for us to approach Him, but we need to build on it from there to lives of worship and gratefulness. Pleasant circumstances and plentiful provision certainly do inspire gratitude. God calls us to live and to think, though, beyond our circumstances. Worship calls us to touch not only the hand but the heart of God. Worshiping and loving God for who He is more than what He provides, lets us live lives above our circumstances. Over the last few weeks, in my own personal reading, I've been going over a book written by Ravi Zacharias called Cries of the Heart. And he makes an interesting challenge in one of the chapters, and I'll just quote briefly what he said. He said, discern the difference between having someone or something to show our appreciation and thankfulness to, and having someone to demonstrate our love to. Worship is the fusing of gratitude and love. This morning in our communion service, Cam led us in a few thoughts in this line as well. The things that we're truly thankful to the Lord for are beyond things. They're really about relationship and about life and identity. It is indeed a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, but it's even more significant to blend that with worship, thankfulness, and love. So let's look at Luke chapter 18. This is an interesting parable that Jesus tells about the way two people approached God. So Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. Also, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I'd like to look at this parable briefly this morning from the aspect of the way that we do approach God. Both men were going to the temple to pray. Both were going to the correct place to meet with God in their time and in their understanding of God. Both had a similar intent, but vastly different attitudes and approaches. Let's think about the Pharisee. What was his posture as he was in the temple? What was he doing? He was standing. And from what we know about other aspects of the Pharisaical way of worshiping, he was probably standing in a prominent spot. He was probably standing in a place where he hoped he would be noticed. All right? And he calls out to God. And do you notice in his calling out to God, he expresses an interesting aspect of thankfulness. He's thankful for who he is not. He says, I'm thankful that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. So as he's praying, does he have his eyes closed? Who's he looking at? He's looking at the people around him. He's looking at the tax collector. He's also assuming the motives and actions of all the other people around him, isn't he? And he's saying, thank you that I'm not like that. And then he adds to his prayer of thanksgiving, just a reminder to God, oh, by the way, I do fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all I possess, as if God didn't know that. He wanted to make sure God was noticing his actions and attitudes as well, right? Really, he was praying to himself. God was not really hearing his prayer, as we find in Jesus' estimation of this parable at the conclusion. Instead, he was practicing really an inner dialogue of just religious pretense. But in contrast, the tax collector, he kept his distance in a humble approach. He even refused to lift his head up, and instead he beat his chest, knowing how desperate he was for God's mercy and grace. He knew he was not worthy. He was taking full responsibility for how he had lived his life. And perhaps, according to tax collector reputation, he was an extortioner. Perhaps he had been unjust. We don't know for sure, but we do certainly know that from his approach to God, he knew he did not deserve God's favor and God's forgiveness. But as he called out for the Lord's mercy, God have mercy to me, a sinner, Jesus affirms that this man went home justified. God heard his prayer. God saw his heart. A thankful attitude and practice are very significant in how we look at life and how we evaluate what's going on. We can certainly be misguided in our level and our direction of thankfulness, for there is a subtle idolatry that takes place if we live our lives as the Pharisee did, looking around at all the other people around us. A subtle idolatry that comes in because we can elevate ourselves above people and assume that we are doing so well and we have so much and we are so confident, or an idolatry of feeling the victim, like, oh, poor me, life isn't going good for me compared to what I think other people are doing. In fact, I would like to say, folks, brothers and sisters, that as followers of Jesus Christ, we must be always careful that we ask the Lord to give us the correct way to look at life and situations around us. For it will be impossible for us to thank God and live in a thankful, God-honoring way if we look at life from our natural perspective. I am indeed thankful for the things that give me advantage and security and choices in life, but I cannot allow those things to become idols in the way I view myself or view God around me. The scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've heard that ever since we've been young, if we've come to Awana and studied the scriptures. But I think in that unable to honor God and bring him glory, it means also that in our natural state, we will not be even thankful the way we should or could in terms of giving God honor and glory. I'd like to encourage you this morning that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only has he given you his forgiveness, not only has he reconciled you to himself and given you the gift of eternal life, but as we have invited Jesus to transform us and give us a new nature and a transformed way of thinking, it will even affect the way we're thankful. It will affect the way we're grateful for all the things that God has given us. So with that, I'd like to turn to Psalm 100 and just read through this psalm with a few comments, because I believe this psalm captures for us some of the aspects of gratefulness and thankfulness from a heart that is really redeemed and empowered to honor God and serve him honestly and openly. So Psalm 100. This is a familiar psalm to many. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His truth endures to all generations. A few points I see in this psalm. Number one, as redeemed of the Lord, God gives us the opportunity and the growing ability to see life from putting God first in all things. He is above all things. It is about him. He is good. He has created all things, and his mercy and his truth endure forever. Have you noticed how many things have expiry dates? Have you noticed that? Best before dates and expiry dates. Now, do you always trust an expiry date? Some do, some don't. In my world of work, in the safety industry, one of my jobs is restocking first aid kits. And you would be amazed at how many items in a first aid kit have an expiry date. Sealed items, completely still good, but with a date on, in tiny print. And in some of the locations where I restock first aid kits, they have occupational health and safety inspectors that come in from time to time. And one location in particular, they go through the whole first aid kit, and there's numbers of them in this location. They go through every kit. Every item, they look at the expiry date. Every item. And if the item expires within the coming year, the inspector writes them up for it. It's crazy. But that's the level that they're following. What it does is it begins to kind of make it really hard for us to keep all the rules and to keep everything up to date like what they want. But when I read this psalm here, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. Is there an expiry date with that? No. The Lord is good from generation to generation to generation. And so one of the privileges we have as the redeemed of the Lord is to offer to our thanks and praise to God, knowing that he does not change and that we can expect and be confident in him for this generation, the next, and for the eternity to come. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Most of you came this morning through this front door. As we come into the presence of the Lord, again, this sanctuary, this building representing coming together to worship here this morning, but even in our lives, as we approach God, let us consider that the doorway into the Lord's presence is thankfulness. One of the best exercises we can do is to practice being thankful. Think of the things you can be grateful for. Maybe write them down. Practice being thankful, like I led in the exercise with the kids. Think about day-to-day items. What are you thankful for? And as we approach the Lord's presence, let us enter with an attitude of thanksgiving and appreciation. As we do so, we know that it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We recognize He is the author of life, the giver of all things, and He has made us as we are. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We belong to Him. We are part of His flock. We are fed in His pasture. This morning in our communion service, we read a passage from John chapter 10. I want to read that again here just as a reminder. As Jesus was teaching, John chapter 10, and it says there, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by them, by my own, and the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them must I also bring, that they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." What a wonderful statement of being part of God's flock. So as people who are thankful and grateful, we know He's made us. We know He's given us what we need. We know He does not expire. He will not change. And we belong to Him as people, as sheep of His flock. The Lord is good. He is faithful and true. And so as a result, in this psalm it says that this author says, "I will serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing." We love the Lord and serve Him with gladness. We serve the Lord and we put all the constraints of our own agendas and goals aside, and we offer the Lord with an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness to Him, our thanksgiving and our praise. Now, I'd like to just make two concluding statements here as we've looked at this psalm here. First of all, God is not reduced if we do not worship Him. God is not reduced if we do not worship Him. Who is reduced when we don't worship Him? We are. We are. If we do not worship God and thank Him for all that He is and all that He's given us, then we are reduced to merely being physical beings. We are reduced to being consumers, to being entitled demanders of supply and autonomy and what we think we need. But when we worship God, what does it do? It elevates us to being people who are able to trust the Lord and honor Him and praise Him and live above the circumstances of our day in gratefulness, worship, and love. We're able to honor Him and give Him glory as we combine gratefulness with love and service. And here's the second thing. As we worship the Lord and place Him high above all things in this life, then we are not afraid of the future. Oftentimes when we are thankful, we are thinking about things that have happened or have been given to us in the past. But can I encourage you, as thankful people and worshipers of God, we can actually say, "Thank you, Lord, for the coming future. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to take care of us. Thank you, Lord, that to live is Christ and to die is gain." Worshippers are people who increasingly are less and less afraid of an uncertain future because we know that God is in control and that we have nothing to be fearful of. That the words that come out of our mouth are words that will express a confidence in the Lord over and above our circumstances. So here's my concluding thought. When my gratitude and faithfulness to God teeters on my own level of happiness with my circumstances, I will become double-minded and unstable in all my ways. I will view life based upon my happiness meter from moment to moment. But as the redeemed of the Lord, and we lift up the Lord's honor and glory in our lives, we have the privilege of knowing not only the God who we are thankful to, but knowing that he is the one who will take care of us and lead us and supply for us all the days of our lives, right into eternity. Our level of thankfulness matures into love, trust, and worship as we seek him and understand who he is. Our thankfulness moves toward a deep respect and gratefulness in the character of God and his unchanging nature of righteousness and love, which has no expiry date. Thank the Lord for his goodness in our lives. And so, Father, this morning, as we meet here in this hour to express our thankfulness, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would also increase our love for you, that you will also lift us, Lord, above our day-to-day situations in an expression of gratefulness and worship because of who you are. I ask, O Father God, that you would give us, Lord, attitudes and a song in our heart of an expression of faith and confidence in your unchanging nature. You have been faithful to us in the past. You are faithful in this day. And Lord God, you will be faithful, Lord, in the years and in eternity to come. I ask, O Father God, that you would raise us up as your people to, Lord, be an example and to give testimony to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I ask, O Father God, that we would be a people not afraid to express our confidence, but to, Lord, trust you, to say it with our lips, and to, Lord God, live it with our lives. Lord, our circumstances sometimes are not easy. Even as yet, there is still a harvest to be finished, to be brought in, and we see the rain coming down this morning. And yet, Lord God, you are faithful. You are true. Lord, there's others here this morning who, Lord, may be facing some health challenges, financial challenges, relational issues. But God, lift our eyes above that to see you, the faithful one who will lead us, guide us, and, Lord, be our supply. Father God, I pray that you would help us to teach our children from an early age to live lives of not just thankfulness and gratitude, but to live lives in which we love you and serve you with joy and thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, for working in our hearts. Thank you, Lord God, that you're leading and guiding each one of us. And may, Lord, you give us the ability and the opportunity to lift others around us and encourage them to, Lord, walk with gratefulness, love, and worship in lives that honor you. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we sing our last song, I just want to say this honestly. I don't know each of you personally. Some of you are visiting here. Maybe you've only been here several times, visiting family. But can I encourage you, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, he's as close as just opening your heart to him, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And as we saw in that parable, our honest prayer is an invitation for God to come and work in our lives. Not only do we ask the Lord to forgive us our sins and give us the gift of eternal life, but I want to encourage you, ask him to change your heart and the way you look at life so that we indeed can be people who are abounding in thanksgiving. If you haven't opened your heart to Jesus and trusted him, can I encourage you, come and talk to one of us leaders here or even someone that you know who has a relationship with the Lord. Be honest, pray together and ask the Lord to work in your heart and in your life. All right, we're going to sing one last song here. God is faithful forever.